eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Boone Podcast.
If I get three pairs of shoes from a collective 14 gifts, I'm good.
On today's program, we flip the script on Booney.
With 141, his second home run in as many nights and his third.
Today, we stick him under the lights and shove a mic in his face.
And I mean, we're flying through these tree-lined trails going 1,000 miles an hour.
He is CBS Sports Radio host and the executive producer of the Boone Podcast, Rich Herrera.
I want to know about you guys. What was life like growing up around your dad while he was playing when you guys were younger?
Now, in its fourth year, this is the one and only Rhett Boone Podcast.
Hello again, everybody. Rich Herrera with you. Welcome to Journey 2 with Booney. I'm the executive producer of the Boone Podcast. That is Brett Boone. Man, you got a scowl on your face today.
Good. I'm a scowl. Kids.
Oh. If I put eye black, you'd look like you're ready to turn two with Lark.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Nobody said it was going to be easy. But these last couple kids of mine, these twins, they'll drive you to the brink. They'll drive.
I mean, listen, that's some serious for those watching.
All right, you want the stupid story really quick, really quick.
All right, give me the stupid story.
You don't want to bore the Boone Podcast.
No, people want to know about what goes on with Brett Boone.
One of my 19-year-old twins. One's in Santa Barbara. One's home with Daddy, and he's earned being home with Daddy. Okay, he has an electric car. He's got a Leaf. He doesn't have it. Right, he doesn't have a Tesla. He's got a Leaf, 2014 Leaf. It gets about 70 miles to a charge. That's the way he behaves. That's what he gets to drive. And he has to monitor and he has to.
Yeah, because you only could go 70 miles. Right. You can only go 35. You better come back or you're stuck.
I told him, hey, you go to college, you get straight A's. Get straight A's in high school. Dad will help you with the car. You don't. You make your own choices. You drive what's available.
And that's the
Leaf. So that's what he drives. But then the rest of the family suffers because he has the electric car, he has a charging problem. So last night he comes home late, doesn't charge. He has school this morning. So instead of getting up early, going to the charging station and being prepared for the day, he waits till the last minute. He gets to school. He's got 8 miles left on his. Oh, Dad, I'll just charge at school, which I told him 2 months ago. Go to school, scout it out, know exactly where your charge points are. So when you're in a pinch, you know where to go. Oh, don't worry about it because I don't know. You know, he knows. So now today it comes to fruition. We have to charge at school. Oh, I didn't know. They said they had 5, but they don't have any. Oh, really? So a couple months ago, scouting it out was a bad idea. Well, there's one right here on my account that says it's right down the street. Okay, well, I've got nothing to do, so I'll just sit here and wait. Because he's made bad choices, I took his bank account away. So now he has no access to funds. Therefore, he has to go through Daddy to charge his little phone, his car. So he says, Dad, I'll call you when I get to the next stop. Now he starts getting a little huffy. Oh, Dad, the charge point said that it was here and it's not here. You know, he starts getting huffy on the phone. I said, whose fault is this, buddy? Oh, it's not my fault. Oh, of course it's not your fault. So the next. So everything, long story short.
No, go on. I like this story.
Life is based on choices. And when you make bad choices, they snowball. Now, I understand, believe me, I made a lot of bad choices in my life, but I've learned from them. And as parents, as adults, we are here to foster our kids and teach them.
No.
Well, the problem with me is my first two kids were so easy and so self-sufficient, almost the adult in the relationship.
Right.
I didn't have to worry. So now I give these twins that come along that are absolute, you know, I think I was given them because just as a punishment.
Yes.
And especially one, you know, his brother who goes to City College in Santa Barbara, and he's done really well and he qualified. He's going to be a junior at the University of Santa Barbara next year. He's kind of gotten it together. But his brother, Isaiah, he's still, you know, he's my 19-year-old, 12-year-old. And it just bang your head against the wall and just, what is it today? And you ever get text, well, you're probably out of that stage with your son now, but he'll go on like panic texts. So I'll be at the gym and it'll be the simplest problem with a simple solution. I won't get a text. I'll get like 50. I didn't even know people could type that fast. And I just want to come through the phone and grab him by his neck. And so that's how the day started.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
100 texts at the gym. You know, then I move on and I had some errands to do. Then I get the phone call. Then it's the first charging. I'm going to get off this show.
No.
When I get off the show, I'm going to go down because I've now passed my phone off to my son, which has the ChargePoint app on it. So we'll see what they're doing. Here's my call. I'm going to finish with this show. This is Jacob.
Okay. So Jacob's helping his little
Jake's brother at home, but he's got to go to work in 20 minutes. But I've got to do the show. I can't be sitting here monitoring his stupid charge. Here's what's going to happen, Rich. I'm going to get off the phone. Jake's going to say, I got to go. Daddy's going to leave me a note that Isaiah couldn't find a charger and he needs AAA. But he also told me today, Dad, I don't have my AAA card with me. Of course you don't. So he's going to be stuck 20 miles from here with an electric car with no money, no credit card, no nothing. And it's all his fault. But he's going to act, because he's my 19-year-old, 12-year-old, he's going to act like, of course, it was everybody else's
fault.
And it all was very simple. You don't have miles. What's the priority today? Priority for you is to get up and get your schoolwork done. You have class at 11 o'clock. You didn't charge last night like you're supposed to. What does that mean? You wake up this morning. You get an early start to the day. You go to the charge point for 2 hours. You get your car fully
charged. It takes 2 hours to charge to go 80 miles?
The old ones, the old cheap ones, they're a pain in the neck. So you need to, for a full charge, 2 hours. You get that handle. He can charge at home, but it doesn't charge fast. It takes for overnight to do it. But if you forget to do it overnight, now you have consequences. You need to do it in the morning. But he didn't do that. He slept in. Then he went to Porkyland to get a burrito. And by the way, they were taking too long, and it was their fault making the food. That's why I got to the point late. All right, I'm done with my story.
Okay, but so can I ask questions?
Knock him out.
Can I ask questions now?
Whew, yeah.
Okay. You know, I lost my mom a couple of years ago, but if she were here right now, Brett, she would say, you realize God is punishing you for everything that you put me through. So does Sue Boone ever tell you, you know, Brett, they're just like you.
Yes, but Isaiah puts everybody through it. And I didn't used to put my grandmother through it. I put mom and dad through it. But I mean, Isaiah has that uncanny ability to touch other generations.
Everybody.
It's unbelievable. If Gramps was still alive, he'd be driving him nuts. He'd be yelling at his great-great-grandfather.
So God only gets you.
It's unbelievable.
All of this as a kid is a payback for what you put Bob and Sue Boone through.
Without a doubt.
Because we've talked about this. You were the toughest. Aaron was the easiest. And then Maddie got away with everything.
Maddie kind of got away with everything. Yeah.
Okay. So here's the big question I have. For your son who goes to UC Santa Barbara.
Right.
And he's driving. What color is the Leaf? I need to know this.
Black. No, no. Wait, the one that goes to use the Santa Barbara, he's not driving the Leaf.
Oh, Isaiah, no. Oh, this is Isaiah here. Okay.
This is Isaiah here.
Okay. So this is Isaiah here in town. Yeah. What color is the Leaf?
No, my son that's up in Santa Barbara, he takes the bus and okay. He takes public transportation because he got a car because he got straight A's.
But okay, that's where I got confused.
But he decided to crash that car. So, consequence, you get no car.
Oh, so he's now, taking the bus.
Right. Now he got straight A's last semester. And I told him, okay, if you help him, you know, if you continue to do good deeds and show me that you're growing up and making good choices,
gotcha.
You get rewarded.
So that's my fraternity brother, Judah.
He is hanging out and he's doing well.
He's doing well.
And he's taking public transportation. And that's the way it is.
Okay. And Isaiah.
I want to get him the junior college here, Mira Mesa. It's too far for an electric bike, but I want to put him on an electric bike. I want to make him take a bus to school.
There's not one that goes from your part of town to the
no.
Okay, so here's my big question. So what's it? Yeah. What's it look like? It's a little black car. Does it look like a little black roller skate?
It's a little Nissan Leaf. Yeah, it looks like one of those little compact cars. Zips around town
like a step above a golf cart.
No, it's a normal car.
Okay.
It's a normal compact car. It's just electric, and I think it only gets 70 or 80 miles. I think when his mom bought it originally, she had it as like an extra car to zip around town. I think it was better. I think over time, because it's like
because the battery wears down, right?
It's 2013, so at one time you could full charge it to 110 miles. Now you can only get 70. The new electric cars are all getting, 200-300 miles per charge. But this is back in the day when electric was new. Electric's so stupid. It's the dumbest thing ever. My wife has she has a Tesla. It's kind of cool, the technology. They're really fast.
Oh, I love driving.
They're stupid. They're stupid. Give me the gas car. Let's go. All right.
So here's my question. On. No, I'm not. No, I still got another question. So how does he meet girls? Driving the little electric car.
Obviously, he doesn't care, right?
When he goes to pick up a girl on a date, hey, you know what? I wanted to take you to the beach. I wanted to take you to this nice dinner, but we can only go 20 miles in my electric car.
That's a problem. That's a problem. But you think back to it.
Hey, Zane, do you want to go to Disneyland for the weekend? Yeah, that's further than my 80 miles I can go.
Right. You can take the train. You got to have buddies.
Hey, you want to go to a concert? Yeah, where is it?
You know what? All this is very simple. It's get your act together. I'm not even asking you to be a man. Just be a young man. Show me some responsibility and everything gets a little bit easier for you.
The last time we had Bob and Sue Boone on, they told us a story where you took Bob's truck skiing.
Yeah. And then it would only go in reverse.
And it only went in reverse. You weren't supposed to be driving it.
Correct.
You weren't supposed to take it skiing.
Correct.
And you left it where? Big Bear?
Mammoth. I had to find a way. I sent, teammate of mine. When I was at USC, I had to go to practice. And this teammate of mine wasn't on the actual roster, but he's on the practice team.
Right.
So I had to pay him to fly up to Mammoth, pick up the truck, and get it back down here because I had to leave it with a mechanic for 2 days. And I had to get it back in the driveway before Dad got home. His dad was on a road trip. Dad played for the Angels at the time.
And Dad found out.
He didn't find out for a while.
Oh, so you hit it?
My mom found out.
And then what did she do?
Mom was always the buffer. Mom would be like, she'd find out what went wrong. And then she would calculate and decide how she was going to tell my dad, if she was going to tell my dad. Well, in this case, she had to tell him at some point. So I think she waited a couple weeks, and Mom would protect me sometimes. Like, all right, I don't want Brett to get in too much trouble. Or if I got her so mad, then she would just tell him right then.
And then you're
I think she picked her spot. Like he just went on a road trip. Told him so, he had stuff to worry about. He had some games coming up, so he couldn't wear me out.
Okay.
Sure, I did some dumb things too. We all did,
right?
But Isaiah's bringing it to another level.
Okay,
he's just
so
bringing it to another level.
How old were you during the ski trip thing?
20.
20? So yeah. What would 20-year-old Brett Boone tell 19-year-old Isaiah Boone, and what would he say to 50-something old Brett Boone about your mindset right now?
I don't understand that.
What would 20-year-old Brett Boone, who's standing there in Mammoth with a truck that he wasn't supposed to drive and a teammate he had to fly to go pick up the truck, what would Brett Boone, a 20-year-old Brett Boone, be saying about this whole situation?
Well, mine was the car broke. It wasn't anything I did. I didn't crash.
No, but if the 20-year-old Brett was standing here next to you,
right,
what would he be telling you right now?
Bad choice. Consequence, I don't know what it's going to be.
No, 20-year-old Brett Boone would go, dude, chill out.
You didn't know when I was 20. I was actually more responsible than people give me credit for.
You wrecked your dad's brand new truck.
I didn't wreck it. I didn't crash it. I was responsible for it. I think I ended up taking some girl skiing
that you weren't supposed to.
Right. But I think I ended up paying for it. And I always found a way, Rich. You know, there's this thing we're built with. Judah's got it. It's just a life skill. It's like you find a way to get it done. Judah, he might not have done his homework. He might not be prepared for this test, but he'll find a way. He'll get somebody in his class that has the Cliff Notes that's got something to survive. Isaiah will show up with no notebook, no notes, no anything, sit down in his class. The class will pass out the final exam, which is 70% of your grade. And Isaiah will look at you and say, they didn't tell me the exam was today. That's what drives me crazy. It's like, we all are knuckleheads. We're all young. We all make mistakes. Find a way to get it done. Hey, you're in a pickle. We've all been in pickles. Well, it's not really nice all the time being in a bad situation like he is in right now. Get AAA out there. Get it towed to a charge point. Get it charged.
Yeah, but it's going to take him like 5 hours because it's an old Leaf.
Tough shit. Don't, you know, you want more wrath from me? Keep texting me.
Hey, Dad, I met this girl. We want to go to Mammoth. Can I borrow your car?
Yeah.
Oh. This All is right. the best podcast. Listen, I'm exhausted today. I get a call at 4:30 from mine, just a couple years older than yours.
Yeah, but Riggs is, you know, I've seen Riggs over the last couple of years. He's grown up. He's a young man. He's a rational kid. He's responsible. He's on a ship.
Yeah. So he called me from, they pulled into Singapore. He goes, I know it's 4:30, but I just wanted to call and say hi.
Well, that's cool, though.
Yeah, so I mean, okay, I can't get mad at
that. As parents, you know, we enjoy stuff like that, you know.
He's on his way to Africa now.
Because that's a good call, and that's, you know, Riggs is probably busy right now, and that's the moment he had, and he hadn't talked to his dad in a while. That's worth me waking up for in the middle of the night, but my middle of the night calls are not, Dad, I just wanted to call and tell you I loved you. It's like, Dad, I'm downtown San Diego. My Leaf is on the corner. I have no miles and I have no way to get home. And by the way, I forgot my wallet and I lost my passport. That's my call.
Oh, Dad, so I took the wrong turn. I'm almost across the border.
Yeah,
my Leaf has one mile. Yeah. I'm almost in Tijuana, no passport and no money. Can you come get me?
Yeah. I mean, just
I can't wait.
It never can just be one thing. It's got to be like the whole kit and caboodle.
I can't wait for your mom to listen to this podcast. I can't wait for Sue Boone. Yeah. I want to report for Sue Boone after this podcast.
All right, you can.
All right, let's talk some baseball. I just can't irritate you anymore. This is too fun. Let's talk about some deals that got done around Major League Baseball. The Boris 5 is now down to 4 because Bellinger re-signed with the Chicago Cubs. 3-year deal, probably wasn't what he was looking for, but he's finally in camp in Mesa with the Cubs. Thoughts?
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
These guys, it's one of those years, you know, it started off with Yamamoto and Otani, just like it started off, seems like the last 3 or 4 years in free agency, money was a plenty. Everybody was getting paid, and it looked like it was going to be another one of those off seasons. As the off season's drawn on, we're finding that's not the case. And you've got a lot of, you know, what are considered blue chip free agents sitting out there still don't have a job. And if I'm a player in this situation, man, I'm starting to get a little antsy now. Like, wait a minute, what's going to happen here? You know, you look at a Snell coming off a Cy Young award. He still doesn't have a team. And we're into spring training games. It'd be one thing if spring training was 3 weeks from now, but we're into spring training games. We're past the training session. The fact that he doesn't have a job fresh off a Cy Young award tells you how the market is. The RSN, the agreement, there's a lot of questions as to how that's going to unfold. I look at Boris. He's from a production standpoint, for what he does for the client, he's obviously the most successful, definitely baseball agent in the history of the game since agents have been around. That being said, you look at Cody Bellinger. He's an MVP a few years back. He has a terrible year, followed by another terrible year, followed by a comeback player of the year with the Chicago Cubs last year. Had a great year. Cubs seem to be the only real team interested in him. And he ended up getting 3 years, $80 million. You know, rumor had it he was looking for that $200 million deal. That didn't happen. And I think now that's kind of set the precedent from a Boris perspective on, okay, we're not going to get that 6 year, 7 year, $200-$250 million. I'm looking like if Bellinger got that, then it would make sense for Snell to sign something like a 3 year, $100 million deal, 33 a year. That makes sense for me. I look at a Matt Chapman, you know, he's sitting out there right now, thinking he was going to get $150 million. Now you're looking at a Chapman situation. Maybe he's a three-year, $60 million type guy. Guys like Clevinger are out there, you know, starting pitchers. I believe he took a $4 million buyout. He's sitting there thinking he was going to get a lot of money on the open market. Well, he's not signed. Montgomery, who had an unbelievable run down the stretch with the Texas Rangers, he's sitting out there. I think his problem is he's sitting behind Snell. Everybody's waiting for Snell to sign to set the market for a Montgomery type. We saw Tim Anderson, batting champ, had a rough year with the White Sox last year, just signed a 5-year deal with the Marlins. And then there's JD Martinez. You know, rumor has it he's turned down $14 million. I forget the ball club that offered him that. He's 35 years old. He brings a lot to the table. turned down $14 million, was looking for a one-year $20 million deal. He's probably going to fall somewhere, one-year $16 million. So you got a lot of question marks right now. Got a lot of people up in the air.
Let me throw something in. So we mentioned the RSN. So can I throw in my two cents on the RSN?
Sure.
So as a former broadcast executive, the money that the Major League Baseball gets, you get $100 million before we even get started. Between revenue sharing, your national television contracts, marketing, licensing and all the rest. And then every ball club has local television contracts, and Bally Sports was one that had, I think it was 16 of the teams. And then you get your local radio contracts. So obviously the New York Yankees get huge money from YES and from WFAN. The Cubs get big money from Marquee. And their radio station
in Chicago.
No, they're not a GN anymore. I think they're on the Score in Chicago. But all these RSNs were owned by a subsidiary of Fox. Fox sold most of their assets to Disney. Disney had to spin them off to a different company because of antitrust. So those RSNs that were paying huge money to the teams have all the equity cut out from underneath them. And there's a bankruptcy going on right now with the RSNs under the Bally umbrella. The Cubs have Marquee. They own that outright. Yankees own YES outright. The Red Sox have their own and Nesson, but all the rest of these, and you saw the Padres got dropped and the Diamondbacks get dropped.
Right.
Texas Rangers are ones that they don't know how much money they're going to have a year from now on television. And there's a good chance a lot of this could go streaming. So the economics of the game in the middle of this CBA have completely flipped.
Well, I think, Rich,
and there's uncertainty.
Right. Correct me whether I'm wrong. It's exactly right. That's exactly what I was going to say right there. It's the uncertainty. Clubs, franchises, owners do not like uncertainty. They like to have their ducks in a row. They like to know the bottom line. They like to know what's coming in, what's going out before they make deals, let alone long-term commitments
before
to
players.
Before
I can forecast.
Right.
Because
it's very interesting to see what's going to happen.
Because with the uncertainty that I have this year with the television money, that also means I have uncertainty in year two or three from now. So if I'm looking, all right, well, here's who's out there right now. I got Snell. I got Montgomery. I got Bellinger. This is my free agent class. Do I give them a ton of money or do I hold back? Because next year I've got this group of free agents and the group of free agents after that. So they know who's coming up two or three years from now. And would I rather give Snell a ton of money right now, or do I wait a year and here's the five free agents that I can get my hands on? So the first two free agents that were signed, the big ones were Otani and Yamamoto, but they're an aberration of coming over right. From
those are mega stars. Mega.
So normally you look for, here's what Brett Boone's going to sign for. Right. I'm better than Brett, so I should get X amount more than Brett, or Brett's better than I am, so I should get X amount less than Brett. But there's always one player that anchors that class. And because of the uncertainty, nobody's been able to anchor this class of free agents.
No, and I'll tell you, and I know this for a fact, just from being in that pool and being a player and watching free agent on a yearly basis, being teammates with free agents and the thought process and what goes through. The reason these guys haven't signed, it's not like they're mulling over five or six offers right now apiece. Because something would get done. One of these guys would cave and say, I don't care what you do. Get me on a ball club right now. The fact is there is not. And I think the owners are they've gotten to a point now where, hey, we're going to save some money this offseason.
We don't know how much money we have to spend this season.
Right.
Or next.
I mean, we haven't even got to an Adam Duvall type player. He's still right out there. There are a lot of top guys. Adam, a year ago, hit 21 homers, had an 834 OPS, getting older. I think he's in his mid-30s, but still a viable player.
Had certainty, I could throw $40 million at him, get him for 2 years, because
right.
I know that I'm going to have that revenue coming in.
Right. It's gonna be really interesting. I think the Snell thing's going to happen. It's probably, Snell probably comes off of a Cy Young Award. And I mentioned this on another show recently. My thing is this. When is the last time you had a Cy Young Award winner on a ball club, and that ball club hasn't had discussion one with that player. The San Diego Padres I'm talking about with a Blake Snell. Well, he just came off that last 4 months of last year was about as dominant a performance in recent history. I think he had like a one ERA for the last 4 months of the season, walked away with the MV or with the Cy Young award. The Padres have not said boo about even thinking for 1 second re-signing Blake Snell. And the fact is he's still out there.
And it's the worst storm you could possibly have if you're a Padre fan. The owner, Peter Seidler, passed away. So right. Now I've got some changes in the front office structure and ownership, and I lost my RSN. Bally Sports San Diego was one of the first to get dropped. So it's a change in ownership, and I don't have the certainty of what I'm going to do for television. So How can I commit all that money to Snell? I'm not even going to talk to him. It's the worst case scenario for Padre fans.
Right. And I think you're seeing that across the board.
Montgomery with Texas. They're not sure whether
Texas. He was in a great situation. Montgomery coming off that, pitching his way down the stretch, actually anchoring that rotation. He was their MVP from the pitching standpoint for that Texas Rangers ball club. Couldn't have finished any better for a Jordan Montgomery. Wins a World Series and is sitting pretty thinking, ooh, it's cashing in now. I'm going to get $100-200 million, and now he's sitting here without a job.
And that's what I was going to ask you as a player. When your clock's ticking.
Well, I'll tell you this, Rich. I'll give you an example. I got to go through free agency one time in my career, and that was after my 2001 season and after my greatest season that I ever had. And I'm sitting there. I hit 331. I hit 37 homers. I drove in 141. I had over 200 hits. The numbers go on and on. It was a dream season for me. I'm sitting there as a free agent. Barry Bonds that year, Moises Alou, and Juan Gonzalez, who had 140 RBIs that year. Barry had something ridiculous that year, which he had every year. But between the four of us, I remember it was getting late. Between the four of us in 2001, the four top free agents, we had five offers between the four of us. And it was just one of those weird, weird off seasons. You know, collusion, I have no idea. But these guys are probably feeling that way about right now. Like, wait a minute. Snell, I got a Cy Young and I got one offer. I got two offers, maybe.
All right. Well, take me through what's going on in their head. Is I'm having that incredible year. You're having the best career of your life. Are you thinking about, oh, baby, I can't wait to cash in?
Without a doubt. And we ended up having to go a different route strategically in my particular situation. My Adam Katz and Tom Rich at the time were my agents, and they said, well, we're going to do something that no one's ever done. We're going to come off this year, and we're going to file for arbitration, and we're going to file your number at $20 million, which back in the day
is ridiculous.
The highest paid second baseman was Robbie Alomar. It was $8 million, and I was going to tie him. Now, all of a sudden, though, they said, we're going to file for arbitration. And the club went, wait a minute. We've never had that happen. Brett might win $16 million in arbitration, which is unheard of for a second baseman at that time. So that got them to come to the table and sweeten the deal a little bit. And I look back at that, and it was, man, it was a weird offseason. It was, I expected to have a ton of offers from a ton of different ball clubs. Ended up signing with the Seattle Mariners, best move I ever made. And in the end, for the time and for the money that was being paid out at that time in history, I have no complaints. I was very, very fairly compensated for the going rate at that time. I think I ended up being the highest paid second baseman for the next 4 or 5 years. And so I've got nothing to complain about. I look at the contracts today and I don't laugh, but I kind of go, wow. You know, when you see these big, huge deals, but I'm sure my dad looked at my deals and said, wow. And I'm sure Ray. My grandpa looked at my dad's deal and said, wow. So it's all relevant. It's all relevant. And it's all, you know, it goes on. It the money, you know, 50 years from now, it might be a completely different, and guys will be getting parts of franchises as the part of their bonus, but it's all relative.
Okay.
And you know, you just move on, but it was a real interesting process that I went through, and all the free agents of that 2001 class.
All right. Yankees and Snell are still talking according to the latest reports.
And just for the record here, I have not talked to Aaron Boone in over 2 weeks, so I have no insider information on Snell. A lot of times right now, and what's going on right now, I hate to go and press him and ask him, hey, you going to sign Snell? Or, you know, I give him my opinions on guys in the offseason on who I would go after, who I would stay away from. But I've had no communication with him. So I really
haven't talked to Arnie
in now two and a half weeks. So I have no idea what is going on with that Snell and the Yankees. I'm just hearing what everybody else is hearing.
I talked to him this morning.
Well, what did he tell you? You know more than I do.
I did. I talked to him this morning. He said to tell Brett to go down there and help Isaiah get his car.
Help Isaiah get his freaking car out of it. I hope we're Jake probably has left for work now. Man, I hope he got it resolved.
Yeah. Uncle
because
Aaron
the next thing
me.
You know, right, I'm hoofing it down to the.
Uncle Aaron called me and told me to tell Brett just give him a ride to school.
Yeah.
And then wherever else to go.
We'll get him a chauffeur.
And don't drop him off in front of the school. Drop him off down the street so he can walk.
We'll get him a chauffeur. He can be like that movie Arthur.
Yeah.
That'll be him going to school.
Hold on. I'm going to send Arnie a text and tell him that's what we decided. Right. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about? All right. Yankees and Snell. Seriously. Who has to blink first?
Well, the Yankees, as you know, my thought of the Yankees is always different just because of what I've watched the last 4 or 5 years. Their whole thing is health. It has been since Aaron's taken over. They get hurt more than any team I've ever seen. Now, maybe it's because I'm paying closer attention. But this year, let's look at the rotation right now. You've got Gerrit Cole.
Right.
You've got Rodon in the two hole. Other than last year, we had close to a 70 ERA. Made 3 All-Star teams in a row as a Cy Young candidate every year. Rodon should be way better. Mm-hmm. And what more like they expected and to sit really good in that two hole behind Gerrit Cole. In the three hole, you went out and you got Stroman. I think Stroman's a great sign for the money, for the amount of years that they committed to him. I think he's hungry. I think he's always wanting to prove himself. He'll sit in that three hole. I think you've got in the four hole, who do you have? Nestor Cortez, right. He was banged up. I heard he came into camp ready to go, healthy, really good shape. He's going to be in the four hole. And then I believe you got Clark Schmidt, right, in the five hole.
Right.
I think they're good to go. And you look at their offense. Big time upgrade with Soto. Big time, and I say this all the time, underrated sneaky sign with Verdugo they got from Boston to play left field. You're going to have Judge in center, Soto in right, and Stanton will go back to full-time DH. The questions I have offensively, is Rizzo getting to that point where he's just kind of over the hill? You know, we'll see.
How much gas does he have left in the tank?
Right. How much
how much does he have left in the leaf?
Right.
LeMahieu. Did he charge overnight?
Right. DJ LeMahieu, are his best years behind him? Those are the two question marks for me. Another big question. Can Stanton come back and be a viable threat
impact
in the middle of that lineup? Because as much as Aaron Judge is arguably the best offensive player in baseball, and Soto arguably top 5 best offensive players in baseball.
Who's playing is walkier as well.
Right. I don't worry about those two, but Stanton being a legit threat and having a good year this year is humongous, almost the key to that lineup for me. Having Stanton sitting behind those two, that hey, you can't just pitch around these guys to get to Stanton because he's got it on track again. That's huge. The bullpen is really solid. They're missing King. King went in that trade for Soto to the San Diego Padres. He was a huge part of that bullpen, so they're going to miss him. They still have a power bullpen. Right now, if I'm the Yankees and all these guys remain healthy that I've just mentioned, and that's a big if when it comes to the Yankees, because
right,
they haven't proven they can. They've got more than enough to go to the postseason, and that's the name of the game in 2024. It's not about how great your team is at the beginning of the season. Is it a playoff caliber team? Is it a team that could win 90 games? I look at that Yankee team right there that I just named. On paper, staying healthy, absolutely that's a 90-plus win team. Also being the Yankees and having access to the money that not every franchise does, if they're playing well, if it's a foregone conclusion when we get to the trade deadline that, yes, they are going to be a playoff team this year.
But remember, they're three times over the the luxury tax. So every 20 million they spend, it's actually 40 million.
But I think at this point in the game, you proved to Cashman and Mr. Steinbrenner that you have a chance to go to the playoffs, go deep in the playoffs with the club they have right now. Mark my words, at that trading deadline, they will add. Well, that's a homer if I've ever seen.
I'm putting on my Yankee hat. For those of you watching on YouTube, I have a Yankee hat that I got when I went to go see Arnie last year at Yankee Stadium. But, Brett, I'm going to ask you this question again. Wearing a Yankee hat. I look weird in a Yankee hat. I'm going to ask you this question again, Brett. You ready?
Sure.
The New York Yankees are predicated upon winning World Series, and it has been a long time since they've had a parade down the Canyon of Champions.
Right.
They need this World Series as bad as I need air. So, once again, if I can add the defending Cy Young Award winner to this New York Yankee team that has seen the Rays advance to the World Series, they've seen Texas win the World Series, they've seen all these other teams win a World Series, and it hasn't happened in New York, who needs who worse? Does Snell need this deal, or do the Yankees need Snell to make sure that they are a juggernaut that will not be stopped, and we will be guaranteeing postseason baseball and a trophy being awarded at Yankee Stadium this year?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't think either one of them need either one of them that bad. Like I said, the Yankees have enough right now. They have enough to be a playoff team. Does that team win the World Series? Do I look at that team and say that's a World Series champions right now on paper? No. But healthy, they're in the discussion. I think Snell doesn't hurt you. I'll take him. And as a player, as a staff member of the New York Yankees, I'm not paying him, so I don't really care. I want Snell at all costs. Go get him. I'll take Montgomery. That ship might have sailed. He was there one time, went to the Cardinals, over to the Rangers. Does he come back to them? No. I think the Yankees, if they want to make a splash, I think Montgomery's a really nice pitcher that would fit in nice behind Snell. But if they're going to make a splash, they're going to do it with a bona fide number one. That's the Cy Young.
And that's what the Yankees Snell. Do.
I don't think they have to have him, though, Rich. I just
so
do they don't.
Get, so do, if Snell wants to play for the Yankees,
I think Snell at this, to, I think Snell at this point is reserved to the fact that it's not going to be the offseason he thought it was going to be. And if he relegates himself to it's going to be a 3-year deal, I think there will be some other suitors out there.
If he relegates, it's a 3-year deal, and the Yankees give him the average AAV, the average annual value,
right?
And he goes and he makes $35, $40 million,
mm-hmm.
The Yankees could win the World Series.
Without a doubt. And they could win the World Series
so
without him.
So, again, okay, well, that's the question.
Well, here's my question. Okay, 2023.
Does he make them a lock?
No. 2023, if I get the Snell from 2023, I'll take my chances right there. That's solidified. What if I get the Snell from 21 or 22?
That's what we don't know.
That's a nice number three starter that walks too many players.
There you go.
So he's the unknown. That's why he's sitting
here. And that's
here.
Why
he's
we're not sitting a for here sure. today.
Right. Otani is not a for none of these guys I've mentioned. Bellinger is not a sure thing. Bellinger had an
none of
awful,
them are aircraft carriers. What
none
we're
of them are aircraft carriers. None of them move the needle. With the exception, the wild card is I always go to starting pitching, and I just know what Snell's Snell is capable of putting a team on its back, bona fide number one, big-time Randy Johnson-type stuff, and that plays. But his track record as an owner doesn't make me shell out $200, $300 million because I don't know what I'm getting.
Because I know that Randy Johnson's going to answer the bell. I know
Garrett I know Randy Cole. Johnson is. I know Clemens is. I know Schilling late in his career is. I know Verlander is. They've proven it. But Snell hasn't proven that year in and year out.
All right, I got to take off my Yankee hat. Do I look good in it?
You look fine, Rich.
All right, I'll leave it on for. It's weird. Hold on, I got to take this off. I worked for Tampa Bay. It looks weird when I wear a Yankee hat. Then all the Rays fans yell at me. Jerseys. Can we talk about jerseys?
Yeah.
Have you seen the whole hubbub over
I've seen
new
the small
uniforms?
Letters and on the jerseys. I've heard about the see-through pants. The small letters on the jersey, that's weak. Looks Mickey Mouse. It looks kind of minor league. It's like those aren't some of the small letters I see on their backs. It's kind of like you made your jersey at home.
Here's the thing that I'm laughing at, because we love to be outraged by everything in America today, right? Wrong side of the road. We all act like we're walking around with road rage 24/7. The jerseys are made by the same people in Pennsylvania that have made the jerseys since you played. Did you know that?
What's the name of the jerseys?
Fanatics. So
Fanatics and Nike.
Right. But the plant that makes the jerseys.
Okay, what I'm saying is they're doing a different material. And it's a different style. That makes all the difference in the world. I need to walk into a big league clubhouse in my locker, and I need to have a big league uni in there. Okay, you're in high school. You're in T-ball. You're in little league. They're gonna have iron-ons that say Wills and Styles, Harriet's Oil. I get it. As you move up the ladder in high school, I had a nice looking uni. This is pretty good. It wasn't a big league uni, but it was nice. I got to college. They were nice. My USC unis were nice. Got to the minor leagues. They were fine. You get to the big leagues. You put on a big league uni. Go. Okay, I know where I'm at. This is a big league uni. From what I've seen, just aesthetically,
right?
They look bush league.
Did you think
not big league?
So we were in Seattle last year. Did you think the uniforms looked bad last year in Seattle?
No, but I'm talking strictly the lettering.
Well, I know, but the uniform itself is the same one that they played the All-Star game in,
which is fine. It's just the lettering's throwing everybody off because they have the little letters.
Right. It just put the bigger letters to the back.
Put the big letters on, and you're fine. And that's all going to be rectified by opening day.
I just laughed because everybody. So there's people in Pennsylvania that have made the jerseys for 40 years.
Right.
Majestic had that plant. Fanatics, when Majestic lost the major
league baseball license, all my uniforms were always Majestic.
Right. So the same woman that tailored your uniform is the same woman that's tailoring the uniforms that are made by Nike right now.
Yeah, but she's older. Maybe she's in the early stages of dementia.
I know people that work there. It was owned by Majestic. Baseball was going to jump to Under Armour, and they're going to be Under Armour uniforms, but baseball wanted to use the same people that had stitched up your jerseys when you played. Under Armour had some financial trouble, backed out. Nike jumped in. Fanatics ended up buying Majestic, same company just under the Fanatics brand name, and the same people that are making the uniforms now made it when you played. They're just using this new, cool material.
Just get the big letters. Just get big the big letters. Letters. We'll be all good.
All right. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about?
What are you watching, Rich? I'll tell you what I'm watching.
Oh, what are you watching? You know what I'm watching?
What?
The New England Patriots Dynasty show on Apple.
Yeah, TV. I need to. I want to
really
check that
good.
Out. Let me tell you, I've got. It's been a while.
I'll tell you about my show.
No, you're next. It's what is Boone.
Our buddy,
not,
our
not
your
what,
buddy,
it's
your
not
buddy,
what is Rich watching.
Your buddy Bledsoe's in it.
I know, but it's not what is Rich watching. It's what's Boone watching.
All right, what's Boone watching? I'll just stand over here and wear my Yankee cap.
I've got a 4.5 star. I fell into it because the girl that starred in Fargo season 5, which is excellent, by the way.
Right.
I really liked her character, and I kind of looked her up and what show she's been in. And I got to The Offer. The Offer, it's on Netflix. No. Is it on Netflix or is it on Amazon? No, I think it's on Paramount. It's the making of The Godfather. Modern day. So everybody's dressed like they're in the 70s.
Right.
Absolutely tremendous. It's got me all going all through. It's
folks,
10 episodes.
He calls me and tells me, Rich, you got to start watching this.
It's unbelievable. And it's great. And you know, The Godfather, arguably the greatest movie of all time, makes you want to go watch it again. And it's really cool how behind the scenes, how tough it was to get that movie made with the mafia in New York, and everybody had to give the okay. And then, you know,
Luca Brasi was really a mafia guy.
It's unbelievable. And then you've got, you know, the politics that go on between Paramount and making deals with the mafia just to make the movie, and they can't have that.
It's
fascinating.
Puzo
it's fascinating. 4.5 stars, A cast, big league actors, big league production. Really cool.
So, have you seen?
Let me stamp it.
Have you seen the new trailer for Kevin Costner's movie that's coming out this summer?
No.
Oh,
what is it?
It's a Kevin Costner cowboy movie. It's two-parter.
Really? So he can just print money now when it Costner cowboy movie Yellowstone.
Looks like
speaking of Yellowstone, when is that going to finish?
I don't know.
What are they going to make us wait another 2 years? It's ridiculous.
But it has the look of 1892.
Right?
The older version of it, and it's settling the West. Looks really good. It just dropped this week, the trailers for it.
All right. I will watch it. I do want to check out that Patriot movie you were
Patriot. It's like The Last Dance. Very candid. Lots of Drew Bledsoe in the first four episodes.
Good.
Lots of Tom Brady. Lots of Robert Kraft. Lots of things like Tom Brady bought a townhouse from Lawyer Malloy. It gets down in the weeds. It's really fun.
Cool.
All right. Let me ask you this. Brett Boone is trapped on a desert island. He can only have two movies that he has to watch for all of eternity. What are they?
Jerry Maguire. Oh, man, that's tough. That is really tough. I was going to say Shawshank. I was going to say Man on Fire with Denzel Washington.
I love that movie. I watched Equalizer 3 again the other night.
Man. Jerry Maguire's going to be one because it's a feel-good movie.
Right. You're stuck on a desert island. You better feel good. Don't do anything sad.
Man, that's tough.
Come on.
I'm going to go with Rocky 1.
Interesting. I thought you'd go with Mr. Baseball.
No. Yeah. The original Rocky and Jerry Maguire are going to be my two. And I don't know if they won Academy Awards. I think they might have, but they're feel good.
I haven't watched a movie that won the Academy Award in the last 20 years.
Do they even have the Academy Awards anymore?
They do, but I don't.
It's a clown show.
Clown show. All right. What do we got coming up on the podcast?
What do we have? Trying to think. Oh, we have Doc McGee, who's going to be interesting.
Who's
Doc McGee? He's the manager for Motley Crue. Bon Jovi has been since 1995. He's been Kiss's manager through their final tour. They say it's their final tour. We'll see. But he's got a lot of interesting stories behind the scenes and the rock and roll on the road with Motley Crue and Skid Row back in the day. Doc will have some really good stories for you. We got him coming up next week. Tom Candiotti. We just had Charlie Huff on the podcast, and I figured, if we're going to have Huff, we got to have Candiotti to talk more knuckleball. And that's all I got. The next two coming up, unless refresh my memory. Do we have somebody else coming up recently?
I don't know.
Those are the two for next week. So
I want to get Bledsoe back on. I want to talk about it. You got to watch.
I got to watch the show. I'll watch the show and then we'll get Drew to come back on to comment.
All right. Are you coming down to Arizona to take me to a spring training game?
I may. All right, I may. And as soon as I know, you'll be the next guy to know after everybody else.
We should. Oh, thanks. We should do the podcast from spring training.
Oh, wouldn't it be cute to have the field in the background?
No, I just thought you could buy me a hot dog.
Yeah. No, I definitely going to get out there for a couple, 2-3 days.
All right.
We will be talking, and I will let you know.
All right. That's it for the podcast for today. Make sure you leave us a rating. Make sure you like us wherever you get your podcast. So, for Brett Boone and everybody else, I'm Rich Herrera. We'll talk to you next time.